Chapter 4, Investigating a Hunch.
So right now we're here in Sacramento. This is the hub of the East Area Rapist series. This is where he started. He attacked 29 times here. All of his attacks were occurring in the East Area of the Sacramento region. That's how he got this moniker, East Area Rapist.
The East Area Rapist attacked 29 times in Sacramento and 21 times in other cities around the area, including 8 times in Contra Costa County, where Paul Holes began his career as a criminalist. At almost all of these attacks, the East Area Rapist leaves semen containing his DNA. This evidence is routinely collected and stored in sexual assault kits. However, DNA science isn't advanced enough to make use of it. But eventually, the science will catch up. The only question is whether law enforcement has the foresight to preserve the evidence. As the years go by and the East Area Rapist case goes unsolved, the rapes are no longer prosecutable because of the very short statute of limitations on rape at the time. So according to protocol, all of the DNA evidence is now gone. Flash forward about 20 years to 1994. Technically, Contra Costa County's East Area Rapist evidence was scheduled to have been destroyed at least 10 years earlier. Paul has just dusted off the red EAR files he found in his home away from home, the crime library in Martinez.
So I'm reading through the case files, and it's attack after attack in Contra Costa County, starting in October of 1978 in Concord. Because these cases were well past statute of limitations, property rooms have a tendency to destroy evidence once the case can no longer be prosecuted. So I hit up Sheriff's property room and asked them, can you pull the evidence from these cases? And they're busy. They said, well, we can't get to that right now. And the Sheriff's property room was just a few blocks away. So I went down there myself. This run-down two-story warehouse wasn't very big, and they had kept their evidence on sexual assaults and homicides up on the second floor, which in an air-conditioned building in the summertime is horrible for evidence, in particular biological evidence, and that biological evidence is being cooked. I sure hope if they have any evidence on the East Area Rapist case, it hasn't been stored up there on the second floor. I end up going into this property warehouse and have them pull the 3x5 index cards that every single item in that warehouse has listed. In particular, I'm looking for sexual assault kits because back in 1978 and 1979, after these victims had been raped, their bodies had been processed for sexual assault evidence. Now, this is in the days before DNA, so they weren't trying to get DNA. They were just trying to find out, did the rapist leave his evidence, his semen, his saliva? I wanted to find those swabs with East Area Rapist semen and then try to do DNA. This is a dusty environment. They've had issues with rats that would chew their way through the paper bags, particularly if anybody had ever submitted food stuff like cake and boxed it as evidence. That was a big no-no because these rodents would come in, they would find something like that and go after it. Upstairs, of course, is where the East Area Rapist evidence was being kept. So it had been cooked over the course of now almost 20 years. And that was a little disheartening to see. But I was able to locate 3 sexual assault kits, and I grabbed those and checked them out of the property room and then brought them back to the lab and started to just go through each sexual assault kit and examine the items and confirm that, oh, I've got semen in each of these 3 cases. I proceeded to do this old DNA technology, which was brand new at the time, and this was showing, okay, it's the same guy leaving his DNA in each of those 3 cases. The original investigators had linked these cases together based on MO, and that was something that I was questioning as to, well, could they really do that? The DNA proved that they were right.
In 1997, Paul is working the East Area Rapist case in his spare time. Again, none of these rapes are prosecutable because they're far beyond the statute of limitations. But Paul's undeterred. He wants to solve this case.
So at this point, I now have DNA from the East Area Rapist. And I'm excited about that. And I'm now going through all these files out of that old file cabinet, looking for names, looking for suspect names, trying to determine which of these suspects were the best suspects. And then my goal was to get DNA from them today and see what we can do. Unfortunately, I could not figure out from this list of hundreds of names I compiled which of these suspects were considered the best suspects. I realized that one of the original investigators was still working at the sheriff's office, and his name was Larry Crompton. So I decided, well, I'd give Lieutenant Crompton a call and pick his brain and see who he thought I should go get DNA from.
I'm Larry Crompton, and I was with the Contra Costa County Sheriff's Department, and I joined that in 1970, and I retired in 1998. I had 28 years in. I get a phone call from criminalist Paul Holes.
I explained who I was, because I'm just this snot-nosed kid in the department, and he is this authority figure as a lieutenant. And he was very gracious in taking my call.
Paul told me that he was a DNA expert, and he said, if you can give me some names, he said, I will go through the evidence we have here and see if I can connect the DNA.
He was like, Paul, that case I would love to see solved. I will tell you right now, we looked at thousands of people, and we don't have a prime suspect in that case. And then said, you know, Paul, we thought that this guy went down to Santa Barbara and may have even killed a couple down there.
I said, Paul, I know of 5 homicides in Southern California. I said, they won't cooperate with me. I know they have evidence, and I know that their murderer is our rapist. I know it's the same person.
According to Sheriff Spokesman Bill Miller, the department sent an investigator to Santa Barbara last week to look into the December shootings of a physician and his psychologist girlfriend.
There was a major crime, of course. 2 people were murdered. But what they have there is just the evidence at the scene, which is a strong indication it could be the same man. Well, a lot of physical evidence at the scene was similar to what he did here in Sacramento.
As a young criminalist, Paul had never heard about any of these homicides in Southern California. What Larry Crompton tells him is brand new and highly intriguing information. But Paul wonders why Santa Barbara was so quick to quash any idea that the cases could be related.
This is where Ronald Reagan had kept his primary residence. So he thought it was possible that Santa Barbara authorities were trying to protect Ronald Reagan as he was marching towards the campaign to become president of the United States.
When I talked to Sergeant William Baker of the Santa Barbara Sheriff's Department, I got a very different view. Baker says it's routine for departments in different counties to discuss cases that might be related. But he says similarities between the Santa Barbara murders and the East Area Rapist case have been blown out of proportion.
So I decided, well, I'm going to call Santa Barbara. I hang up with Lieutenant Crompton, and I speak with a detective down there. Hey, you guys have some unsolved cases from late 1979, early 1980 that might be related to my East Area Rapist series? And that detective was like, no, we've gone down that road before. These cases aren't related. And he kind of shut me down on that line of inquiry. But the one thing that he did do is he said, I've heard Irvine PD is doing some DNA on a couple of cases that they have. You might want to talk to Irvine. Okay, you know, and I got a contact number for Irvine. It took me a couple of days to be able to finally land on a phone number with an individual that gave me a call back, and that turned out to be an investigator by the name of Larry Montgomery.
My name is Larry Montgomery. I worked for the Irvine Police Department starting in January of 1974.
He proceeded to tell me they had 2 cases, 2 women that had been killed, one in 1981 and one in 1986, and had linked those 2 cases together. So I got the name for the DNA analyst at Orange County Sheriff's Crime Lab, Mary Hong, from Larry Montgomery, and I gave Mary a call. And I ended up talking to her and explaining, I've got DNA profile results from three cases up here in Contra Costa County. I just want to check and see if your cases that you're working down there are possibly the same guy. Unfortunately, Mary's lab was actually more advanced than the Contra Costa County Sheriff's lab in terms of where they were at doing the DNA testing. We couldn't do a comparison. However, there was one marker that she had done that I had also done, and that was the same type I had. That was interesting, and I told Mary, I said, hey, once I'm doing this newer DNA technology that Orange County is doing, I'll give you a call back. And so I hang up with Mary, and this is now in 1997. It took 4 years before we got caught up with what Orange County was doing.
Paul has no control of one of the biggest problems in solving the Golden State Killer case, bureaucracy. This case spans 11 different counties. Each California county has its own sheriff's department, crime lab, budget, and priorities. Technically, Paul isn't even supposed to be investigating it. Paul has to wait, so for the next 4 years, he keeps the EAR files in a corner behind his desk and drags them with him whenever he's promoted or moves offices.
So we're heading south on I-680. We just passed over the Benicia Bridge and have descended into Contra Costa County. This is where I worked for 27 and a half years. We're passing through the city of Martinez. We're on the freeway right now. Contra Costa is the other coast. So right across the bay is San Francisco. It's the other coast from San Francisco.
Now, one of my primary responsibilities was responding out to crime scenes. I was a crime scene investigator, but I was a scientist at the same time. So as a criminalist, I was bringing out that scientific component to the field. Of course, we're responding to the most major of cases that are happening in Contra Costa County, your homicide cases. We'd go out to the officer-involved shootings. I also was stuck having to respond out to all these blasted drug labs, all these meth labs. I responded to hundreds of drug labs during the course of my career. The bane of my existence. Hated drug labs.
In 2001, the crime lab had gotten the new DNA technology up and running. So I assigned it out to a DNA analyst, Dave Stockwell. Mary Hong, I know you know Mary, give her a call. I had talked to her back in 1997, and she's got a case down there that she's doing some DNA on. I just want to see, could this be the same guy? And when he left, I fully expected it would come back and we would have eliminated any potential connection to Mary's Irvine cases. So he leaves. I go to my office for at least an hour just doing the routine administrative work that I was stuck doing now in this management position. I sense a presence. Dave has come back into my office, is standing in the doorway. And he said, well, I spoke with Mary, and we have the same DNA profile that she has in her homicide cases. I just kind of pushed back. I was like, you're kidding. And he was like, no, it's the same. He's telling her, this is the profile I have. At this marker, I've got this type. And Mary goes, I've got that type. And he says, at this marker, I have this type. And Mary goes, I've got that type at that marker. And they literally started to read to each other the profile. This was March of 2001. That's when the East Area Rapist was identified as being the same offender that Southern California knew as the original Night Stalker. I knew nothing about who the original Night Stalker was, and Mary had given Dave a contact within the sheriff's office, a detective Larry Poole, and his phone number. So I am calling Larry Poole. I'm just thinking Mary just had the two Irvine PD homicides. Larry proceeded to say, no, we've got six cases that we know this guy did. And four of those cases are double homicides, in addition to the two single homicides out of Irvine PD. So this original Night Stalker had killed 10 people across six cases. And I'm telling Larry, that's huge. Because up here, what we have in Northern California with the East Area Rapist series is we have 50 attacks where the offender let all these victims live. And we've got names in these case files, and we have victims saying, this is what this guy looked like. This is what he told us about himself. And I said, that is huge for your homicide investigation. I immediately recognized, you know, anytime you're working a whodunit homicide, you're often chasing ghosts because the victims themselves can't tell you what this guy said, what he did, what he looked like. So I ended up compiling all the physical evidence that I could find and all the fingerprint cards from the East Area Rapist series. I sent those down to Larry Poole in Orange County.
There was no way that it could be proven until Paul Holes did that DNA. That really opened up the investigation.